That's not up. All right. Good morning, everybody. And some of you might be listening in the afternoon. So good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This morning, we have an amazing set of dads with us. And I am totally excited about what is coming up. I am so grateful to God for this opportunity that we have to share with each other and also to talk with and to dads. Today we have a special guest in the studio with us. His name is Winston, and we'll hear from him in a minute. But I also have in the house what I would almost call the full posse. We haven't got Bob with us this morning, but Bill, welcome, man.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back. You were here the very first day we started, August 1st.
Yeah, listening every day while at work, listening, picking up, just loving what's happening here, and just really appreciate being a part of it.
And voting for the best jokes, right?
2-2 going into Friday. It was a split. I think it's even with the two of you right now, but you've got some new talent here at the table. Let's see what happens.
All right. Charles, again, I appreciate you, man. You are here every day, and thank you for your presence and your participation.
Good morning. It's been great. I've been having a lot of fun. It's been powerful. A little emotional too, but this is what's needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Mike, actually, we have some good news, man. We have some good news. Mike is going to be able to join us on Fridays, every Friday. Hey. I mean, I am so excited about that. But welcome. You're in the house today.
Thanks for having me back. I'm ready to reclaim my joke throne.
We will see about that. Now, for those who might be listening for the very first time, I want to repeat why we do what we do. This program exists in order to empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. But there's a second part to it. It is to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. One of these days, we're going to give out a prize for the person who can say it without reading it. I'm not saying you don't know it, but that's what guides us. In addition to that, we hope that every time we present to you on this platform, you as fathers out there end up learning how to be better spies. And we get spies from the acronym spiritual, physical, intellectual, emotional, social. We hope that you will hear something that will make you strengthen those pillars or those tires on your car, your figurative car, to be a better dad so you could dad up and be there in a greater way for your children and your families. We will intentionally reach out to different sections of dads out there. We will look for single dads. In fact, we want to have a conversation with our single dads next week. I'm asking you to call or text in because we know great dads out there doing a job on their own. And we want to highlight you. We will also be talking to dads who have experienced incarceration. And today we have a dad with us today, and I know there are many out there, and I am so grateful to have you in the studio with us, Winston. I met you at a group of men who we go into prison twice per year. We spend an entire weekend, and I heard a part of your testimony. Your two children are actually just outside there. Yes. Now. How old are they?
I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Man, wow. You have your hands great. Full.
Yes, definitely.
So, Winston, welcome. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, my brother? Start with, well, how young are you? Notice I said how young, because you might beat him beside you, Mike.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys having me here to encourage dads all over. My name is Winston, and I'm 34 years old.
34. So he's younger than you.
Yeah,
he's the youngest kid on the block. Winston, thank you. I am also grateful to you for your willingness to share your story. And as we say on this program, and we'll always say it, none of the questions we ask will be to embarrass you. We guys are here to tell you, quite honestly, there are some things that we won't say on air, not yet, because we're just getting comfortable with being vulnerable. It's yes. part of the process. So when you said yes to being interviewed, I was overjoyed because we have some men who might be listening to this very program who are in prison and they have access to the radio. And there are some who are out who are struggling to make it. So let's go back a little bit. How old were you when you got locked up?
Yes. So pretty much I was a teenager. Just had a, you know, troubled teenage life, you know, typical, just being a teenager, you know, just smoking weed, you know, having fun and not listening to your parents. So, you know, just being in a single mother home, no really guidance like that, not really having a dad to really gear you, you know, in those crucial times. I ended up, you know, just being with friends. And, you know, after a while, I stopped listening to my mom. I ended up just moving out, living with friends and everything. And a couple of friends and I was just out one evening, and we ended up just committing a crime. And after we committed what we did, you know, we ended up getting caught. And, you know, really didn't really hurt anybody, but I was sentenced to... First time ever getting in trouble, I was sentenced to 15 years. I had to do 7 years incarcerated, and then I had to do 8 years out on probation. I was only at the point at that time. I was I just turned 18. A matter of fact, like 3 months ago. So, I ended up getting incarcerated when I was 18.
Let's go back a little bit. You said something about not having a relationship with your dad.
Yes.
Was that because he wasn't there or because he was there, but you didn't want to have anything to do with him? Why was that?
It's not that he wasn't there. He wasn't present in the home. Just my mom, I'm Jamaican, so my mom like came over here when we was younger. And, you know, my dad stayed back, but they wasn't together or anything like that. So I never really grew up in a home with a dad. I never saw a dad in my home. So.
Did you have a father figure? Did you have a positive, be it a coach or somebody? None?
I didn't have any father figure. And that's where I went astray, because when I was like 13, I was getting bullied a little bit in school, but I couldn't really share that with my mom and everything. And you know, she used to like, she didn't really understand us as young men. You know, you have certain prides and stuff. And so, you know, when you try to talk to your mom about certain things, it's like, she wasn't relatable. She couldn't relate to me, you know, when I was telling her certain things. So I didn't really get a positive feedback when it came to getting bullied and stuff in school and, you know, wanting, like my clothes, I used to get picked on with my clothes or my shoes. And then I tell her, hey, you need to buy me some shoes that look nice, you know, so, you know, I won't get bullied. And, you know, she was a struggling mother, so she wasn't able to provide that, you know. So I started looking up to the wrong influence, people in the streets like that I thought, you know, had money and, you know, influence and everything. So I started looking up to those guys, but they were a bad influence for me, which kind of changed my character and caused me to try to mimic and imitate their lives in certain ways, which caused me to go down straight to the wrong path.
Wow. Well spoken.
You have two amazing young men out there.
Yes.
I can see them from here. Listening audience, Winston is now a dad. But let me ask you guys, we're going to be talking about that very soon, the role of strong women in our lives and how important that is. Moms are so very important. But from what I'm hearing from Winston, it's not that mom was absent. It's that she couldn't do what a dad could do and should do. Is that something you subscribe to? I mean, there's a part of society that thinks if you have a strong man, a woman in your life, a strong mom, then they can make up for dad. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to just speak from the heart right now, is that, you know, I believe when it comes to a boy and a young man, that a mom wires the heart. She wires the compassion. It takes the man to wire the head and the emotional strength that a young man needs. And God made man and woman. They both have their roles in raising a child. And specifically when it comes to a young boy, in those years, when they start getting tested, when they start getting bullied, and he said it very well. When he got home, he just didn't feel like his mom had the tools to effectively help him through those, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm sure she did the very best she could, but there was a missing element. And you hear the story that we just heard with Winston. This is not a unusual story. This isn't a one-off. This is putting the finger on the nerve of the missing element. And I'm going to go back to what you said. As men, we have a lot of catching up to do.
We do.
And the first thing we need to do is we need to take accountability for some of the missing elements if we ourselves had it in our lives or have done it in our lives. But we have to come to a point where it stops. It stops today, and we're going to take accountability. So,
Winston, apparently you decided to flip the script because you have two wonderful young men out there, and you decide you want to be different. But before you say something to that, there might be somebody out there saying, well, he didn't have to end up in prison, or because I didn't. And I know right around the table here, somebody could testify to the fact that dad wasn't in his life, but his path was different. Doesn't mean you were bad and he was an angel, but we make choices and we have to deal with the consequences. And after we get the consequences, how do we move on from that? Mike, would you like to speak to that?
I mean, so I was raised by my mom, and she would drop me off when she would work nights, and she would drop me off to my grandmother and my aunt. So I was raised by women, and they taught me strength and the fundamentals of how a woman should be treated. But there was a perspective missing, and I realize that now. But it made me, because what I realize is that the missing piece I have to find, and I have to implement that in my kids. There's something to be said about someone's presence, like a father figure that you do have, yet there's an absence at the same time. I was helped out. My grandfather would come in from time to time. He was a police officer, so there was a sense of masculinity there. There was a sense of, like, power or strength from a male perspective. But it wasn't, like, it wasn't a meal. It was more like a snack of what I kind of needed. But I just kind of took that, and I gathered all of what I was missing and what I wanted in a father figure, and I tried to course correct it.
For you, Charles, before you get to you, I met your dad, so I know the influence that he had upon you. Let me ask you, Winston, what makes you feel, and this might be an unfair question, but it's a loaded one, so let me rephrase that. Do you believe you're doing a good job right now as a dad?
Honestly, I do my best. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm learning, but as a dad, I try to reflect, copy what the Bible tell me to do.
Okay.
Before I even had kids, you know, I made sure that I was married. I'm married 7 years now. So we made sure that we were married. You know, I found a woman in church. Just, you know, try to come up against the generational things that I felt like was a factor in me not having a stable home.
And you decided to break that cycle.
To break that generational cycle. So, first of all, I made sure that I got with a Christian woman. You know, I made sure that I didn't have a child outside of wedlock. Just doing my best by the grace of God, because I can't do any of it by myself, but by the strength of God, and just being obedient and listening to him and just try to have a humble heart as much as possible and being obedient to the word of God, to do my best to support them.
Man.
Amen. That's awesome.
Oh, gee. I don't know how we pivot to a joke from that. We might have to skip the jokes today. But Charles, I knew for you, there was a dad present in your life, at least physically. Could you speak to that?
Yes. My father was a career deputy. He retired from Martin County Sheriff's Office, and strong presence physically and his whole appearance. That's the way he parented. Sometimes it was great, sometimes it wasn't. Because literally, as I got bigger than him, the intimidation factor wasn't there. So he knew he had to pivot and talk with me more on a man to young man level. And I thank him for that, because a lot of times it's hard for men to pivot and try something different.
Mm.
And with my story, I'm glad he had pivoted, because he was there when I needed him the most.
Mm.
And I am so thankful. I had my dad for 49 years, and I was 44 when I needed him the most, and he was there.
Yeah, I remember that conversation, and we still haven't finished yet. Winston, back to you. Do you have a group of men? Well, you have a new group of men in the studio, because we aren't going to let you go. Well, when I say we are going to let you go, we let you out the studio, but we're going to be in touch with you.
No, just don't leave town.
Do you have a group of men that you surround yourself with right now?
Right now, pretty much, it's just, I surround myself with elder men. Like, most of the men that I have in my life are pastors, you know, that I look up to and, you know, strive to be like, you know. Honestly, I have friends, but they're pretty far off, you know, so I don't really focus too much on, like, friends on my age group. Wouldn't say it wouldn't be good to have friends, but, you know, I, you know, keep it, like, close family members and basically my spiritual brothers.
When you got locked up, you were 15?
I was 18.
18. So you had just finished high school or something like that? Finished?
I actually dropped out.
Okay. How did you bounce back? Because I can tell you, even though I've never spent time in prison, I've never gone in for voluntarily, I mean, involuntarily, yeah. But how did you bounce back to now having your own business and not going back? Because the rate of what they call recidivism, yes, is very high for somebody who, one, didn't have a father figure, two, didn't finish high school and come back out and they are almost ready to just go back to what they knew. How did you manage that?
For me, is most of what I've done and the mistakes that I was making in life came from an ignorant perspective, just not knowing any better. Just personally, I was young. I was immature. Somebody once said, like, you can only do as as much as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best you could do is the best you know. So what I was doing, basically my best knowledge is what got me there. So when I found out that I basically just came to myself because once I got incarcerated, I was at the end of myself. I was trying to live life. I was trying to figure everything out, and I wasn't sufficient. It wasn't enough. You know, I was trying to stay in school. I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to do all that, and I kept failing. So I just came to the end of myself because basically when I got locked up, I was like, okay, this is it. You really did it now, you know? And I didn't know where to turn from there, but it was this one guy that was there that was talking about Christ, and you know, I gave it a shot. And from the beginning, like my first week there, the guy told me something about Jesus, and then from there he planted a seed, and from there I was like, since I have to do all this time, I'm not gonna let this time be a waste to me. But I'm gonna spend the rest of this time empowering myself so this would never have to happen to me again.
Oh man, if I had the liberty, I would say you didn't spend the time, you invested the time. That a lot of guys, I've been into prison so many years working with them. Some just simply do time, some waste time. From what you're saying, you invested time. But there's something else here, brothers, that is powerful. It's the fact that it took him to be arrested, to be rescued. Yeah. And God turned what could have been disastrous into something wonderful.
Charles? And as a person that has worked in jails and prisons,
yes,
I have experience in that. There are guys in there. And this guy that talked to you, he probably saw something. He said, son, you should not be in here. Mm-hmm. Let me steer you the right way. There are guys in there that, for whatever reason, that have made mistakes. They've turned their lives around. They may have a lot of time, but they don't want young men to go through what they've gone through. So they try to catch them so they are not repeat offenders. And thank God for this guy that got to you.
Yes. May I get a word in here?
Please do.
This is too good. Winston, you've got a great testimony, and God gave that to you. I think there's a I've never been incarcerated, but I've done time. I've done time. Yeah. And one of the great things I learned along the way is that when you're serving time, a wise man makes sure that the time serves him.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done that. Mm-hmm. You've used some great words. You've used ignorance. Mm-hmm. The people don't like that word. Yes. You must embrace that word.
Yes.
That is not knowing what you don't know. And then once you know,
you can do better.
You do better. So good on you. Good
Man,
on you.
We're gonna have to have you back. Mike, what would you say to my brother?
I got a question. So like when you're locked up, man, and you feel like you're in the darkest place of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find a light, right?
Yeah.
You find a light in the darkest place possible. What did you do with that light? And like, did you share it with others that are trapped in the darkness?
Definitely. My wake up call happened before I even got sentenced or anything. My wake up call happened, and just being in there, I definitely won a few souls. I even got ordained while I was in there. I took college. I went to seminary. Got my GED. I was 100% in the church. I was a leader. Just basically, I used to be on the rec yard evangelizing, passing out flyers. Like, everybody know me. I go into prisons right now. They know me. They know me as that young guy, because I was
lit
young.
Up.
I was pretty much, I was on fire. I was evangelizing. I was going crazy because God, like, I fell in love with Jesus. It was so much, like, because I didn't know any better. Like, he gave me purpose, you know, like God pretty much, he gave me purpose. I found out why I was here, all the questions that I had in life and all those things, like, I was reading the Bible, and he was answering everything, and I'm like, man, how I didn't know this, you know?
You didn't know.
That sounds like a joke.
This is a question. Do you feel you found your father when you found that love?
Definitely. It was. It was God. You know, he was God that I was looking for.
That father.
That father, you know. Because, you know, one of the Psalms, like, when your mother and your father forsake you. My mother was always there. I had a great mother. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a very strong woman. She did her best. You know, but when I found God, I found that father figure. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Listen,
amen.
We have to wrap it up here. May I make an appeal to any father or man out there who would like to be a dad tour, somebody who steps up, dads up, and be there for a young man who doesn't have a father figure? And if you could call us at 561-229-2379, 561-229-2379. I also want to say thanks to Nuzzle Nolan Pest Control Company for sponsoring today's program. You can reach them at 561-556-7895. Any final word to any guy, any man, any person out there who has been locked up and is struggling to get back on their feet? What would you say to them, Wings?
It works. Just surrender to Jesus. He'll get you back on the right path. I know it sounds cliche, just surrender to Jesus, but I'm nothing without him. Mm-hmm. You know, he restored everything. And he gave me what he's doing so much in my life. Everything I have to entrust to Jesus, everything I have to give to him, everything that he's doing, the knowledge that he has given me, everything is so much. You know, I got to give everything. Just being strong, being a husband, being a minister, all that is Jesus. Being a business owner, it's all Jesus. So you have to start with him first, you know. Let him give you that foundation. Once you get your foundation in Christ, you're a new man.
Amen.
You're a new man. They say any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. You know, you're a new man. You start building from that foundation, not your past. You build from a new foundation, which is in Christ, because you're born again.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, gee. Awesome. Listen, your story is refreshing. Thank you for sharing. I am totally encouraged. And
give him that return ticket. He's got to come back.
Yes, he
bring
has
him back
to.
In. And, don't leave town. We're going to use you again.
So you have two boys. What are their ages? Three and five. Three and five. And they're two boys.
Two boys.
Men, you have quite a legacy. Listen, we're about to wind up. We didn't even get a time for a joke this morning, but I would say if there's any joke, it's on the devil. What he intended for evil has turned out to be for your good and for God's glory. I just like the fact that there is hope for every dad out there, whether it's drugs, whether it's incarceration, whether it's divorce. There is a way back. And if you wish to become part of this movement, we're looking for 1,000 men to sign up for Dad Up 1,000. Give us a call, 561-229-2379, or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. Winston, again, thank you for sharing your story. We look forward to talking with you again. I'm going to take some information about that business that you have because we want to let people know what you do. All right. Enjoy the rest of your time, listening audience, and speak to you soon. Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.